that's actually born from a book that Max Lucado wrote called Before Amen. So we're gonna be teaching out of that, and I was very fortunate enough to be able to get the topic Heal Me. And this has been an interesting week, I think, for all of us, because in the process of getting prepared for this message, Israel's been deep in my heart this week, and really praying for what's going on in Israel. And tonight, when Grace and I came in here a little bit early, and we were praying, just preparing, and just kind of soaking in the presence of God, this thought came to my mind. The same God that arises as a warrior over the Middle East arises on healing wings over Chesapeake tonight, right? So the God that we serve, I believe tonight is going to do a work. I believe that tonight is an ordained time for us, not only to enter into his presence and to be able to receive what he has for us, but I believe that if you're in this place tonight and you have a need for healing in any aspect of your body, any aspect of your emotions, or any aspect in your spiritual life, then I believe God's going to meet you in that place this evening. So let's pray. Holy Spirit, we just thank you for this opportunity tonight. And we thank you, Lord, that your presence is already here, that we don't have to ask you to come. Because, Lord, you are in this place. And, Lord, it is your desire to heal. Lord, throughout Scripture, Lord God, we have read and we know, Lord God, many of us have experienced the healing power that comes with the blood of Jesus. So tonight, Lord God, even as I teach this short message, and we enter into ministry, Lord, we welcome what you want to do. We decree and declare, Lord, touches on our body, touches on our mind, touches on our spirit man and our soul, Lord God, that you would bring complete, total healing and deliverance, Lord God, to every aspect of our life. And if you agree with that, say amen. So tonight, as I get ready to get started in this teaching, and as I was preparing just to get going in this, I got this kind of tick in my heart of something I just wanted to start off with, because I think that in our Christian walk, sometimes we tend to separate what happened on the cross, what happened as a result of the atonement. And so I want to establish a clear truth tonight contained in Scripture. It's not an opinion that if you believe that, how many of y'all believe that Christ died to take your sin? If you believe that, raise your hand, right? So if you believe that Christ died on the cross to take your sin, you cannot separate the fact that he also died for our healing. You can't separate those two items. You just can't believe in just part of the atonement that Christ did. You just can't do that. Because if you believe in him for your salvation, then you have to believe in him for your atonement. Isaiah 53:5 in the Amplified said it this way, that he was wounded for our transgressions and he was crushed for our wickedness, our sin, our injustice, our wrongdoing. And the punishment required for our well-being fell on him. And by his stripes or wounds, we are healed. Present tense. And in the Message version, it's written this way, the more contemporary English version. It says, but the fact is, it was our pains that he carried. It was our disfigurements, all the things wrong with us. We thought he brought it on himself, that God was punishing him for his own failures. But it was our sins that did that to him, that ripped and tore and crushed him, our sins. And he took the punishment, and that made us whole. Amen? And through his bruises, we get healed. Is that good news? That's good news. So, but the question I want to ask you tonight is this. Does our belief in healing share the same level of faith as our belief in salvation? That's a legitimate question for the body of Christ. Does our faith in that second part of the atonement rise to the level as our faith for the part of the atonement that says that we are saved? And I think in a lot of our lives, we get to a place that's like, yeah, I believe that, but And look, when I'm up here talking to you today, I am coming at you from an aspect of I have walked through some stuff in my life. I have walked through some things that I had to rely fully on God for healing for. And you have to get to a place in your life that that second part of that atonement, that work on the cross, becomes as natural for you to believe as the fact that you don't doubt your salvation. So here's a question. When you sin, do you believe that you lose your salvation? Right? The answer to that is no. At least I hope not. At least I hope not. If you have that belief, stick around. We'll talk a little bit more after we get done. And when you ask yourself why, it's because our sins have been forgiven. All the sins that we've committed and all the sins that are before us are on the cross. We're His. We're His. And we also understand that in our lives, sometimes sin creeps in. Is there anybody in here that sometimes sin just doesn't, I mean, did you never sin in your life? Right? If you say yes to that, stay after. We'll talk to you about that too, right? So it can creep in. And in some case in our lives, sometimes that sin can even be intentional. So what do we do? Well, if we're Christ, we go to Him. And we fix our hearts on Him because the Scripture says that He's faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So we've got that part of that atonement. We clearly have that part of that atonement where we're like, man, I am saved. I am sealed. I am sanctified. I'm justified. You can throw all these words out there that this is I am. But that second part of the atonement, when we get up against a wall and we need healing in our life, do we still have that kind of faith? When you're sick, do you believe Jesus for your healing? Or do you ask questions like, where are you, God? Why haven't you healed me, Lord? By the way, all those questions are legitimate. He doesn't mind if you ask them. But what about we get into a place where when we suffer illness in our body, we suffer sickness, we suffer things going on in our body, and then we can begin to publicly declare things like Psalm 103, that we've been healed, and that we can begin to speak these words, and I'm going to talk a little bit more into that in just a second. But I think one of the reasons we struggle with it so much is that sickness is right in our face, that it's like on us, we can feel it. You know, I was talking to Pastor Matt before I started teaching today, and we were just talking about the fun that it is of getting a little bit of age on you when you can wake up in the morning, stuff hurts, you don't know why, right? I mean, it's just the way it is that sometimes it is that way. But we tend to walk in with our sin, and we're like, okay, we're healed. But with our healing, we're like, ah, man, you know, I don't know if I'm going to get healed of this. And so the level of faith for healing does not rise to that same level of faith for our salvation and the atonement. So a few years ago, in 2017, or actually 2016, I'm going to tell you this because I'm going to read a couple of scriptures to you. So I'm going to let you know that you're okay in the way you think, okay? In 2016, I got diagnosed with cancer. And I got put on kind of a wait, standby, let's kind of see. And if you've ever come face-to-face with the C word, it's quite sobering. It'll wake you up. And you have to make a mental decision at that point, and you also have to make, more importantly, a spiritual decision at that point. And you have to ask yourself, who am I going to believe? Am I going to believe the words of the enemy, or am I going to believe the words of God? In the atonement of Christ that says, by His stripes I am healed. And I can remember, and I've told this before, where I was at when I got the word that I had cancer. And I remember going home and I wrote on my mirror. And one of the things I wrote on my mirror is I wrote on there to just, I took Grace's eyeliner pencil and wrote on there. And I made it real flat, so she probably loved me after that. And all you women will know what I'm talking about. Reg told Pete, don't ever do that. Don't ever write with that. But what it was is I wrote my identity on that mirror, who I belonged to, who I was, And I go back to the prophetic words that had even been spoken over my life in years past, that God said he had great things in store for me, that you are my child, I have great things in store for you. So at that point of diagnosis, I had to begin to make a decision. 2017, I went back and I had another biopsy. Guess what? Cancer was still there. The cancer wasn't gone. So I had to make a decision. And I kept my eyes on God. Always kept my eyes on God. I don't take my eyes off him. Though the enemy would come in with lies, he would come in with all this stuff, he would come in with just things that are attacking me in this, I had to just put up this protective just presence of the Holy Spirit in my mind to just keep the enemy at bay. Just get him out of there. And then last year, after I had my surgery last year, I got diagnosed. And I had to go through radiation treatment. I went through 33 radiation treatments. And thank God, my PSA, I got a test the other day, it's flatlined. I'm good. But I'm telling y'all this to tell you this, is that when you go through stuff, I'm gonna share back-to-back Psalms with you that David wrote, because I think it's important. In Psalm 22, David writes this. I want you to listen to this. I want you to listen to the inflection. My God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from helping me and from the words of my groaning? My God, I cry in the daytime, but you don't hear, and in the night season, I am not silent. This is a man that the Bible describes as after God's own heart, and David's going through things in his life, and he's asking God, where are you? Have you ever been in that place where you're crying out to God and you're just asking him, where are you? But here's how faithful our God is. In the next Psalm 23, everybody knows this psalm. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures, and he leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul, and he leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Can you see the comparison? I mean, back to back from Psalm 22 to Psalm 23. And you look at us in our humanity sometimes, and you look at what we go through in our lives, and sometimes we are in a Psalm 22 moment, where we're crying out to God and just really just seeking him and asking him, Lord, why have you forsaken me? And then the next moment that things are restored and it's like, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. God understands our emotions in these times that we go through, in times of sickness, in times of trouble. And you know, the thing about us and our humanity that Jesus understands is that we can pray Psalm 22 and from the same heart, pray Psalm 23. He understands that. He understands everything that's going on within us. It says that he knows what we're going to say before it ever comes out of our mouth. That he's familiar with every emotion that we have in us. And that's an important fact to know. Because when you're in this situation, and remember I started this thing off, is do you have as much faith for your salvation as you do for healing? Do you have that faith? Sometimes you can walk into places and be troubled and still have faith. Crying out to God for help, crying out to God for his presence, crying out to God is still a cry in faith. It's not doubt. It's not doubt. So here's some of the things that happen, though. And I think these are important. And tonight, as we begin to step into prayer, I think some of you guys are going to relate to this. One of the things that sickness brings on us, by the way, all sickness is authored by the enemy. It's not authored by God. God doesn't bring sickness on our bodies. Sickness came about the same way that sin did. It came about at the fall. And ever since the fall of man, humanity has been dealing with both sin and sickness. Amen? So, but here's the thing, in understanding the source of that sickness, a lot of times we get to places where we enter into times of fear and worry. When somebody pronounces something on us, it becomes a time of fear and worry when it's a major disease. You can go to the doctor and you can get a blood test and they can look at you and they can say, your blood sugar's too high, you have diabetes. One of the first things that comes to the mind is, oh my gosh. And all the negative stuff that you begin to hear about that disease begins to cycle in your mind. I told you about the cancer. It's so easy, the C word is always acquainted with death. It's never acquainted with life. So the thoughts that begin to enter into your mind are fear, worry, anxiety, doubt, so many things that begin to be able to take root in you and begin to affect you deep in your soul. And it can begin to make you train. It can actually begin to make you change. And it can also bring you almost into a place of unbelief. Almost into a place of unbelief. And for some people, it can transition them into a place of unbelief. Fear and worry as Christians has no place in our lives. Amen? Amen. Has no place in our lives. We have to be a people that are able to stand up and walk in faith and believe God beyond what we see in the natural. What we see in the natural. Even after I went through the radiation treatment last year, I still hang on to the promises that He's got great things in store for me. And I believe this, is that when the enemy tries to rise up and bring accusation and things against me, I'm like, nope, I've had this word spoke over me. He's got great things in store for my life and He's not done yet. Amen? And these are all words. These are all words that we can begin to speak. It doesn't matter who we are. And just because I had that prophetic word spoken over me, we are all children of God. And He is not partial to any of us. Amen? You guys receiving this tonight? Sometimes we go through things. And by the way, tonight, we're going to pray in three areas. We're going to pray for physical healing, we're going to pray for emotional healing, and we're going to pray for spiritual healing tonight. Because it's just something that I think that we really need to step into. But the second thing, and this really kind of deals with emotional healing, and I think more than anything else in all the work that I do with people, the counseling I do with people, the ministry I do with people, there's a measure of prayer that I do for physical healing, but a lot of the prayer that I do is for emotional healing in people. More often than not, the enemy is going to attack your emotions over your body because he wants control of your mind, right? Because if you allow your emotions to be impacted, let's say you've experienced betrayal in your life. Anybody here ever been betrayed? Right? A lot of hands will go up, right? Anybody in here, I'm not going to ask you to raise your hands on this one, but we go through physical and emotional abuse, and it affects who we are. And so we begin to walk around, and we carry that burden in us. I've done encounters for years, and it doesn't matter whether it's women or men. When we go through times, and by the way, just so you know this, deliverance is a form of healing. It's one of the most dynamic forms of healing. Because when you go through deliverance and somebody prays for you and you get set free from something, you're breaking off an attachment of an oppressing spirit that has been in operation in your life that has caused you to dwell in that area of that emotional hurt. So deliverance, when you look at it, people get all kind of spooky about it. I hope y'all aren't. People get all spooky about it, but the reality of it is, it's somebody praying over you, taking authority over an oppressive or a demonic type spirit that you're able at that point to cast that spirit out to bring relief, comfort, and entire deliverance to the life of that person. I've watched it happen on people. Folks, I'm going to tell you a testimony. I was praying for a guy at an encounter one night, and this guy had spent time in Fallujah with the Marines. And there were some things that happened in Fallujah that nobody talks about. And he came home with all this. And one night we were at that encounter and we were praying over him. And I actually watched a spirit lift off of him that was causing PTSD in his life. Do you hear me? Trauma affects our emotions. The types of trauma that I mentioned here was physical or emotional abuse, but there are all types of trauma that we encounter in our life that bring us to a place where it becomes such a burden that it becomes a bondage in our life. So betrayal, physical, emotional abuse, things like rejection. And what about this? What about being hurt so bad that you have developed such a stronghold of unforgiveness in your life to somebody that you are unable to forgive them? That you are bound by unforgiveness to that person, and every time you speak their name, every time you see them, every time you hear about them, all this stuff, it just churns something in you. There's that much angst in you over that individual. God doesn't want you carrying any of this. God doesn't want you to have to carry the burdens that the enemy tries to lay on us. That's why Jesus died on the cross, for the atonement, for sin, and for healing. He has no desire, but for some reason people want to, these oppressive spirits latch onto people, and they become almost things that they become so comfortable with, they don't want to release them. If you're in here tonight, and you have these types of things in your life, we're going to pray for you this evening. We're going to pray for you. So look, fear and worry equate to hopelessness. Betrayal, physical, emotional abuse, rejection, they can lead to unforgiveness. But listen, faith and peace leads to trust. That you can have a faith and that you can have a peace that just defies everything. Or better yet, let's say it biblically, a peace that passes all understanding. And the way you get that peace through faith is that you are believing for the evidence of things hope. I mean, the substance of things hoped for, but the evidence of things that you can't necessarily see, but you know are included in the atonement. And when you settle down into that place of peace, knowing that Christ is greater than anything that you face, when you get to that place, then you enter into that place of trust, and you enter into that place of wholeness. 1 Thessalonians 5:23 says this, "Now may God himself, the God of peace, make you pure, belonging only to him. May your whole self," everybody say whole self. Everybody say spirit, soul, and body, be kept safe and without fault when our Lord Jesus comes. He wants your whole self. He doesn't want you to hold back on anything. If you need deliverance, God's in this place tonight. If you need healing, God is in this place tonight. If you need to come up tonight and just get into a place and confess to somebody that's praying for you, "I'm harboring unforgiveness in my heart and I want to release it tonight," you're going to be able to do that. What you have to purpose in your mind and in your heart now is that if you're carrying in of that into this place, are you going to walk out of here with it, or are you going to leave it here and get rid of it? You have an opportunity tonight to lay this at the foot of the cross, to take advantage of the second part of the atonement. Nobody is doubting that you have faith for your salvation. Why would you doubt and want to keep a hold of something that Christ died for? Amen? So look, the one thing I love about Jesus' ministry when I read the Gospels is just the different ways that he dealt with people regarding healing. And you can go through the Gospels and you can see how Jesus sometimes interacts with like two blind men in Matthew chapter 20. That he's walking down the street and these two blind guys are there. This is Chuck paraphrase, okay? These two blind guys are there and there's a crowd of people and Jesus is walking down the street and these blind men get word that Jesus is coming. Well, they've heard about Jesus. They've heard about him. So what do? They just sit real quiet and they say, I hope he stops and sees me. That's not what they do. What they do is they get desperate. And they say, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. And the crowd around him is like, shh, be quiet. Don't bother him. He don't have time for you. And they're like, no. Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. And then Jesus walks up to them. The dudes are blind and he goes, what can I do for you? And the guys get healed. And then you have another woman. It's in the other Gospels and in Mark chapter 5, the one that I'm looking at. You have a woman that's had an issue of blood for 12 years. The doctors have tried to deal with her. All they've done is made her worse. She's spent every bit of money that she's ever had on trying to be healed from this flow that she's been having for 12 years. And in Israel that day, that was, you were outcast. You were dirty. You were unclean. People didn't want to get around you when you were going through all that and had all that blood. So this woman, she just purposed in her heart. She says, if I could just get to the hem of his garment, it's all I need to do is I just need to get to the hem of his garment. And even in the midst of the crowd, and it says that people were bumping into Jesus and it was a crowd and they were moving through, the woman did not let anyone stop her from getting to that hem. The question tonight is, if you're dealing with stuff in your life, are you going to let others or even your personal life stop you from getting to the hem? Jesus healed lepers. He healed paralysis. He healed fevers. He healed mute spirits. He healed the deaf. He healed so many things. And today he's still healing. He's still healing cancer. He's still healing diabetes. He's still healing heart disease. He's still healing arthritis. He's still healing and delivering people from emotional wounds. Remember, spirit, soul, and body. So, Matthew 11:8 says this. Jesus said, come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. I had a lady tell me in my cell group one night when we were talking about healing. And we talk about a lot of things that we talk about in the body of Christ. It's like, why doesn't Christ heal everybody instantaneously? Why don't we all get healed instantaneously? It's a good question, isn't it? Isn't that a good question? And this is what she told me. She said, everyone gets healed, Chuck. Some get healed instantly. Some get healed gradually. All get healed ultimately. All get healed ultimately. Tonight, the question for you is, can you move from the place of fear and worry? Can you move from the place of unbelief and doubt and move into the place of faith and peace? Can you move into that place? Tonight, we've got a ministry team here. And what we're going to do is the ministry team are identified by their badges, and we're going to invite people up, and we're going to pray for you tonight. I've even told the people on the ministry team, if you've got something that hurts, you go get prayer too, because this is what tonight's all about. It's a little bit different than what we normally do at intercession, but I think it's vitally important in the body of Christ that we offer these opportunities, and I hope that this message tonight has stirred you. I hope it stirred you to come up to a place of just understanding that the atonement is an equal part, or excuse me, healing is an equal part of that atonement as salvation is. And that healing is for you today, that deliverance is for you today. And if you've walked into this place tonight and you need prayer, we want to pray for you. And I'm also going to say this, that if you've walked into this place tonight and you know somebody that needs healing, you know somebody that needs deliverance, we'll pray for you too. And we'll pray for them when you come up and ask us to pray for them. Because God doesn't know distance, and he doesn't know time. That doesn't mean he can't tell time. He just doesn't operate in time, right? So we really want to do that tonight. And so we're just gonna have to sign off here from the podcast. We wish you guys were with us, but just take the opportunity just to continue to pray. You don't necessarily have to be here to receive healing. You don't necessarily have to be here to receive deliverance. Just get to a place in your knees in prayer and just begin to cry out to God. And just begin to just get into that place, into his presence, where he touches you so that you may receive that very bit of healing that you want in your physical body, in your emotions, or your spiritual life. So thanks for joining us, and you guys have